get right into this. Are you ready to go this morning? Are you here because you want to grow and learn? Are you here because somebody made you come to church? Okay. Do you believe that God will speak through your pastor today? That I've spent time with the Lord. I'm not bragging on myself. That I have spent time before the Lord. And that I have a message for you today. Okay? You didn't come in here by accident. You didn't come in here to waste time or to take up time. You come in here today to learn, to grow, and to receive. Because you are not, and I refuse to let you be a part of the unlearned bunch. I can't make you come. I can encourage you to come. I can't make you receive it, but I can encourage you and by faith believe that you will receive it. Amen. And that when you leave here, you will be stronger. You will be full, more full of faith. Amen. That your faith will grow from that size of a mustard seed because every man has been given a measure. Amen. Amen. Every man has been given a measure. I didn't get more than you did. You didn't get more than I did. It's what we do with it after we get it. Praise the Lord. So take your Bibles this morning. Let's look quickly. We are teaching about moving into our wealthy place. Now, I realize this has been a long message. Say long. Now, we started way back at the first of the year. And when God gets through with it, you know, I found out the Word of God's like juicy fruit. You know, I used to get the package, go through the whole pack, just get the goody out of it. Then you spit it out. Well, listen, I found out the Word of God is better than juicy fruit. And when you get into the Word, see, you just continue into the Word until God says, I want you to go another direction. So that's why we're doing this, okay? It's not just because I want to do it. It's because I believe God has got something important for us to hear and for us to learn in 2009. Because God knew exactly what would happen in this year. God knew that it would be a year of adversity. But the Word of the Lord has come to this church. It's important that we receive and hear the Word of the Lord that has come to this church. He said, even though this will be a year of adversity, talking about the year 2009, adversity will not come upon the people of this church. Now, I don't know about you, but I receive those kind of things into my life and into my heart. And so I'm glad that the Lord speaks to us so we can release our faith to walk in what God has called us to walk in. Amen? We are not children of the darkness, but we are children of the light. Praise God. So Psalm 66:12, right quick, out of the King James Version, this is our foundation scripture. This is where God began to stir in my heart about the message that I'm teaching you all this year up till the day. It says, Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and we went through the water, but Thou brought us into a wealthy place. Shout, wealthy place. Amen. And we know and we understand David is writing this psalm. And we see from David's writing what happened when men got out of fellowship with God. But thank God that we have a better covenant based on better promises. So if God did that for them under the old covenant, how much more will He do the promises of God that we have been given in the new covenant for you and I? Amen? So those are good news. We've looked at other translations, and quickly, you know, it defines the wealthy place, and we've said it's not just talking about finance. It's not just talking about money. It talks about, one translation says, a broad place, have you brought us into. The NIV says a place of abundance, a place of great wealth and abundance. The Living Bible says a place of plenty, the complete Jewish Bible. I've got all these translations, by the way, and I look at them. When I study the Word, I always go back to the New King James, but it says a place of good things. That's the New Century Bible. A place of rich fulfillment. That's what the New King James says. And a place of safety, the New English Version. So all of these define, if you will, that wealthy place and the condition God wants us to be as we move into our wealthy place. I may believe it's important for you to know that God has a wealthy place for you. And that His will is to move you into that wealthy place, into that area of rich fulfillment. So that's what we've been talking about. And then right quickly, Jeremiah 29:11, out of the New Living Bible. They'll just pop it up there because most of you don't carry the New Living Bible with you. But it says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So we believe that God does not devise evil plans for His people. God does not have a disaster plan for you and I. Now, we have been talking for the last 2 weeks. How many of you have been in church the last couple of weeks? Okay, if you haven't been in church the last couple of weeks, I would just strongly, again, encourage you to go back and listen to the messages, because we did talk about God moving us into our wealthy place does have to do with finances. See, a lot of Christians walk and live below their privileges in God. Sometimes we just think as Christians that we are to just receive and take whatever the world gives to us. But let me just admonish you. Now, if you're of an old school or of a religious mindset, everything that happens, your first thought is, and some we've been trained or we were trained this way, is that it was the will of God. If bad things happen, it was the will of God. If a storm, a hurricane come and blew our house down, it was the will of God. Well, God doesn't devise evil plans against His children. Are you with me? And we're not supposed to just sit back and, you know, sing, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, we understand that there is a real enemy of our soul. There is a enemy called the devil that wants to steal from us. He wants to kill us and he wants to destroy us. So we said all these things. A lot of Christians just sit back and just allow whatever life dictates to them, and that's what they receive. But let me just tell you, because you're in a condition doesn't mean that you have to stay there. Some were taught, you know, if we're poor, that is a sign of being more spiritual. And we said, look, being poor has nothing to do with spirituality. Are you with me? It is the will of God that He wants you to prosper. It is the will of God that He wants you to richly enjoy all things. Did you hear what I said? If He didn't want us to do that, He would have told us. He had a great opportunity in the book of Timothy to tell us not to be rich if that was His motive or that was His will. But He didn't say that. He just said, make sure that your pursuit is not after money in life, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. So we talked about all these things, but, you know, what I was, is I went back and was looking at some things that we said. If you were here the last couple of weeks, something by the Spirit of God began to prompt me to say that the world is motivated by fear. Now, when I said that, I was talking about some other things, but the Spirit of God came back and He said, listen, I want you to teach today, and I'm not deviating from the message, but He said, I want you to teach the people today about not to fear. Because if we allow fear to come in our life, it will keep us from moving into our wealthy place. And so I want to be obedient to what the Spirit of God has for us today. And I just ask you this. How many of you believe that the world is messed up today? It really is messed up. And, you know, even though we're in this world, we're not of it anymore. So, but listen to me closely. If you came back and you didn't have any way of keeping up with the news, no, you know, TV in your house, no internet in your house, no cell phone, you know, no Twitter, no Facebook, none of that stuff. And you lived on the backside of a mountain somewhere, or out somewhere, way out where there was none of this stuff. How many know that you would not have any fear? But the point is that we live in a fallen world. I believe the number one reason, listen, we live in the world and it's in the condition that it's in, is because we live in a fallen world. How many know what I mean when I say fallen world? You know, this world system is now become under the influence of the devil because of what Adam and Eve did way back in the garden. So it is the influence under the world system to produce fear in the lives and hearts of people. The whole world, if you stop and think about this for a moment, is motivated by fear. Everything. If you lived on the backside of a mountain with no way to communicate with the world, you wouldn't have any fear. But because you hear these things, faith comes by hearing. But you know how fear comes too? Fear comes by hearing. And so we get sucked in to not just the world system, but we get sucked in to the spirit of fear, even as Christians, even as believers. So I'm here today to share a message with you that we are not to fear. And I kept saying that over and over and over, but God began to say, look, I want you to go and explain what you mean when Christians are not to fear. God has, listen, given us a way to be victorious in every area of our life. We are not to come behind or lack in any good thing. Amen? And we've got to make sure that we don't allow what is being said and what is being influenced in the world and motivating the world, which is a spirit of fear, to get on us, because we should not fear anything but God Almighty. God has given us the ability to overcome the world. God has given us the ability to be victorious in this life. Not defeated, not cowered, not cowed down to the world, but to live in victory and to rise up in faith at the level God has called us to go and be. Now I want you, with that being said, go over to the book of Matthew chapter 24. And I just want to share some things with you, because the world is looking for the next thing to influence and motivate people by fear. Now, we've been in 2009 now, over 6 months, and we know that, it started out by the economy going in the tank, and then all of a sudden, what was the next motivational scare? Somebody say the swine flu. Now, I don't know what the next thing will be, but I know they're already working on it to motivate, to get people into fear. Because when we're motivated or we have fear in our life, it will take us away from our wealthy place in God. It'll keep us from doing what we need to do or what we desire to do in God. It will keep us from pursuing the will of God for our life. Can you say amen? All right. In the book of Matthew, now before we read this, let me just give you a couple things here, okay? Just some food for thought. In 2003, I went back and looked at some of these things. In 2003, it was the SARS. Remember that? The SARS that started in Asia, the virus called SARS. And it started in places like Singapore, in Hong Kong, and it became rapid. It was going to be the epidemic that was going to sweep across the world and move to the United States of America and wipe out half of the population. It got so bad, according to some missionaries reported, that they shut down the churches, a lot of the public buildings and churches invested and put thermometer sensors on their entrance and on their doorways. And if you came into a public building, such as a church or another type of public building, and your body temperature was at a certain level, they would not allow you to come in and gather with other people. How many know that was a joke? How many know it didn't wipe out half of the population of the world? Are you with me? So that was in 2003. Then in 2005, it was the West Nile virus. Help me out now. Remember, the mosquitoes from South America and Nicaragua was going to come, and they were going to bite you and get you and take you away. Everybody was running out to get, the spray, the antidote to the West Nile mosquito. And they found out if you sprayed that stuff on you, that many people broke out in hives, and it was very toxic, and some people died because of the mosquito spray. Now listen to me. How many know that was a joke? They said it was going to be bad, okay? They would said, don't go outside. Don't let your kids get out. Don't expose any area of your body. If it's 110 degrees outside, dress up like an Eskimo so no mosquito can get to you. Then in 2006, actually 2006 to 2008, it was the bird flu. Oh man, the bird flu, okay, carried by birds. So watch out for the birds because they might drop flu on you. 2009 to 2010. You say, well, 2010 isn't here yet. Yeah, but they're predicting this October there's going to be another outbreak of the swine flu, and this outbreak is going to be worse than the first. Now listen. They said it's the worst flu since 1918. And even on back, some of them said the worst flu ever. That it carried strains that they would not have any antibiotic or antidotes to inoculate people to keep them from getting the flu. That was back in February and March and April. And then by May, they said, whoops, we made a mistake. This flu does not have the strains that we thought it had. In fact, it's no worse than just regular old flu. But they produced a tactic that began to scare people so bad. Listen, that, you know, people were walking around wearing masks in places where there was no way that there could be any contact with flu. Are you here? They were shutting down public buildings. We talked to people from Mexico. They wouldn't let them get on the plane. They wouldn't let them come to the United States. They shut down churches. Are you here? Because somebody got up and said, there is a great pandemic coming on the world. It's called the swine flu, and it's going to wipe out half of the population. Everybody got into a panic mode. Some of you probably got into panic mode. They didn't allow your children to go to school. Are you here? Well, we found out, you know, a little bit later that it wasn't that bad. In fact, listen, only about 800, maybe the high end, 1,000 people contacted the swine flu worldwide. They don't have all the confirmation on all those that they said that died, but they do know this, that 200 people at the peak of flu season in the United States of America, in America, every year, die of the regular flu. Did you know that? Daily, I'm talking about daily, elderly people can't resist those kind of things, die during the peak season, flu season in the United States of America. Well, you don't hear much about that. I said of the regular flu, people die of it every year, every flu season. Well, they are saying that around 800 or 1,000 people contracted. They can only confirm very few that actually died of the swine flu. Are you here? And so, obviously, all this was created as a joke. It was a pandemic that never came to pass. But it was an influence, and it was motivated through fear. And did you know when that happens, what else? If you keep up with investments and stock markets, what happened? They went in the tank. They lost. Now, what does having the swine flu have to do with you investing money? You see, it destroyed and ruined a lot of not just the economy here, but like in the economy of Mexico, for example. We know people that have restaurants. We know people that have businesses. We know churches, and they shut them down for over 2 weeks. Are you here? Because somebody allowed themselves to be motivated. And I'm not trying to make light. Listen, I'm not trying to make light of all this stuff. And I know there's people that got sick, but listen, you're talking less than 800 people that died with the swine flu, with this great pandemic that they were predicting, and there's 6 billion people in the world, and 800 of them contacted the swine flu, when we have in the United States of America 200 a day die from the regular flu. Amen. Do you see how big a joke it is now? Do you see how that we can allow ourselves, if we allow ourselves to be influenced by what the world says, by what the media says, by what those that are inspired by the spirit of fear that's in the world. So I come back because, listen, if you are a believer, fear will keep you out of the will of God and keep you from moving into your wealthy place. Now, let me just say this. The safest place, and I think some of you have heard me say this, but let me repeat it. The safest place for you to be is in the will of God. Wherever God has called you to be is safer than where He has not called you to be. If you're in the center of God's will and God called you to Mexico in the peak of flu season, you're going to be safer there than you would be here and out of the will of God. That's what you've got to get in your understanding, because God is a God who protects us. God is not only our provision, but God is our protector, and we are to fear nothing. Amen. Amen. We are not to allow ourselves to be motivated by the spirit of fear. So, have you found Matthew chapter 24? Man, I just thought I'd tell you those things, amen, so that you'd know how much of a joke some of this stuff really is, okay, when you stop and think about it. Now, quickly here in Matthew chapter 24, for those that don't know the background here, Jesus is teaching some things here, but these things, listen, are really for the people of Israel. They're talking about not the catching away of the church or the rapture of the church, but He's talking about the end times. He's talking about what will happen in the end day when Jesus comes back, listen, and He, at the end of the seven-year period of tribulation, and He sets up His kingdom. How many know there's a difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus? So when you read your Bibles, you have to get this thing in context, okay? But the signs will be the same. The signs will be the same, because when Jesus comes back and takes the church out of here, the Bible says, like a thief in the night, to snatch the church away or to rapture the church, then there'll be 7 years of tribulation. I'm not teaching on the end time, but I'm just trying to share this so you'll get some understanding here. Then after the 7 years, Jesus will come. That's the second coming, okay? And set up the kingdom, set up the millennial reign, so that you have this and you understand it. Well, somebody said, well, how do I know when Jesus is coming back for the church? Well, just go stand by a graveyard somewhere if you want to. Because the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Come on. I mean, people get very naive about these things. There's some people that just, you know, think that they're going to go through the tribulation. Well, you can go through it if you want to. I choose to believe what God says. Amen. I'm out of here with the first truck load. Amen. The first flight out. Praise God. If you want to tribulate and go through it, well, then go through it. If that's what you believe and want to receive that. But I believe what God's Word says. Amen. So I need to make sure that you understand that, because Jesus is teaching. Verse 4, He said, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, He's not talking about, you know, if your pastor gets up there and makes a little error in doctrine, or, you know, something that you don't, you know, you can't see. And that's not what He's saying. That's not exactly what He's saying. Look what He said. He said, for many will come in My name, saying, I am the Christ, and will what? Will deceive many. In other words, He's talking about somebody that gets up on a platform, a pulpit, or an area of a fivefold minister and gets up and announces that He is Christ that has come. If somebody does that in your presence, just get up and wave bye-bye and get out of there. Don't stay and listen to any more of that junk. You say, yeah, but that's funny. No, 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 no. Did you realize there are people even in our time, in our era, in our day that stand up and say that I am Christ? There's some goofball over in Florida that stands up and says He's the Christ that has come in the flesh, and He's got followers. He's got churches. Are you here? He came to McAllen. He's been in Houston. He's been all over. Or you could be back in the 90s when David Koresh got up. Listen, somebody that gets up to you and says that I am the Christ, don't you receive that. Amen. That is what Jesus said will happen in the last days. It is a sign that Jesus is coming back. Now, some people live like Jesus is not coming back, but I got news for you. Jesus is coming back. Somebody said, well, yeah, but that's what my grandmother said, my great-grandmother said, and he still hadn't come back. Well, he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back sooner than you think. And so we have to make sure that we understand. He said, don't let any of these things deceive you. He said, for you will hear. Now look at this. You will hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that you not be troubled. The Greek says, don't you be afraid and don't you be frightened. It says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we find out that there are going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. Listen to me. He says, when you hear these things, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't allow yourself to get into fear, okay? He said, for nation will rise against nation. Look at verse 7. And kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine. Say famines. Famine. What's a famine? A famine is a recession. Have we had one of those lately? Has the world had one of those lately? Okay, so it's just another sign that Jesus is coming soon, okay? He said earthquakes. Have we had any earthquakes lately? Tsunamis, that's part of an earthquake. Just had an earthquake, what, a month or two ago in California. Somebody got up and prophesied that there was another big one coming that's going to chop California off. Listen. We don't rejoice because of the earthquake, but when somebody stands up and says there's going to be an earthquake, we rejoice because that's another sign that Jesus is coming soon. Are you with me? When there's a famine, we don't rejoice because of the famine. We just rejoice because the Word of God's true. Jesus said that in the last days, He said there would be famines. And He said there would be earthquakes. Praise God. But don't allow your heart to get in fear. Jesus will protect you. Jesus is here. Amen. No fear because Jesus is here. He's here. He's right here. Amen. He's our protector. He's our present help in our time of need. Now we're going to find out this. Now look what he says. He said nation will rise against nation, or people groups against people groups, or races against races. Aren't you glad for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't care what color of skin we have? We all have the same blood. Come on. Are you with me? Okay. So he said that will happen, kingdom against kingdom. He said there'll be famines, there'll be pestilence. Now underline the word pestilence, because really it comes from a Greek word, lamos or something like that, which means diseases and plagues. So Jesus said in the last days there will be swine flu. Amen. There will be pandemics. Okay? Whatever that means. Are you here? There'll be diseases. Do you think flu was new in 2009 or 2003? It doesn't matter if it's a swine flu, Asian flu, bird flu, West Nile flu. Listen. Whatever flu will do, we still serve God. Amen? They just name it something, but it's just a pestilence. It's just a plague. It's just a disease that Jesus said will come in the earth in the last days. Don't you know they had sickness and disease in the day of Jesus? In the ministry of Apostle Paul? Well, sure, they came to healing meetings. What do you think they came for? Are you here? So he said, look, he said there'll be earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, the Amplified says this will be the beginning of birth pangs. Now, you ladies that have babies, you know birth pangs. That's a Bible terminology, but it's also a terminology when you're pregnant with a child, that you start having some birth pangs sometime 6th or 7th month. But you know, in the 6th or 7th month, the baby's not ready yet. Well, the Bible says that the earth will have birth pangs. It doesn't mean that the earth is ready to deliver yet, but it's under a fall. It's under a curse, okay? So the whole world will have these things that Jesus talked about, okay, as signs that he is coming back. Because, listen, the reason that the world is fallen is because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. But the Bible also teaches us that there will be a redemption for the world as well as for you and I. Are you glad you've been redeemed?
Amen.
Okay. And so there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah, but aren't you afraid that somebody's going to pull the trigger and destroy the earth? No, not if you know the Bible.
Amen.
No man's going to destroy the earth. God's going to destroy it.
Amen.
By fire.
Yes.
Amen? But not man. No man's going to pull one button or push a button and pull a trigger and destroy the earth. Are you here? Okay. Well, now let's go over. I got a lot of things here we could say, but we got to go on. Our job as believers is not to fear. Go to 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If I'm in the will of God, that is the safest place I can be. Your wealthy place depends on you staying out of fear. Fear will keep me from doing the will of God in my life. Have you got those things? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And again, I'm sharing this with you because God gave us a word. Listen to the word that God gave us. He said that adversity would come. How many believe that God knows exactly what's going to come every year? He knows what pestilence, what plagues, all the sickness, all the diseases, all the earthquakes, all these things. He said he knows, okay? And so he said adversity will come, famine, recession, but it will not cause us to be under it, the church and as individuals of this church. So I receive that, amen? And there was an article just this week, I don't know if it or a poll taken, what are you going to do to prepare for the swine flu this fall when it comes back in vengeance and had time to really get powered up through its dormancy through the summer? Do you know they don't ask us that stuff because they just laugh at what we'd tell them, right? Are you here? No, you know, oh, we're going to get sanitized. We're going to stock up with masks. You know, I found out that people can be hypochondriacs. They can get so paranoid of germs. I've seen people carry cans of Lysol in their luggage and go and spray things down before. Don't touch anybody because they don't want to get anything from somebody. You know what you fear will come upon you? I said, what you fear? Some people are afraid of getting on the highway. Some people are afraid of getting in an airplane. Are you here? See, whatever you're afraid of, it keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. Keeps you out of the will of God. It keeps your faith from operating. And I've seen people get so paranoid about things, the very things they fear is what came upon them. If you remember that plane that went down a couple of weeks ago that was from South America to Paris, they interviewed the father and the son. And they said they had a fear of flying. And so they would always, and they flew a lot, so they would always separate. The mother and daughter would fly on one flight, and the father and son would fly on another flight. Well, guess what? The father and son made it to their destination. They took another flight. The mother and daughter that was afraid of traveling together because they might have a crash, they were on that plane that went down. Are you listening to me? Amen. See, we're not to fear anything. Our confession is that God is our helper. Amen. God protects us wherever we go and whatever we do. So, I read this to you again. Let me read this to you. Let me read out of the Amplified for sake of time. You can look at it there in chapter 3, 2 Timothy, verses 1 and 2. He says, but understand. Can they put that up in the Amplified? No. First, yeah, the Amplified. There you go. Yeah, but just look at it up there. It says, but understand this. That in the last days, see, the Bible tells us what the last days will look like. I'm not teaching on last days today. I'm just showing you what they'll look like, okay? It says that they will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Now, he didn't say that we'll bear under them. They're not to bear under us. Are you here? Or bear us under. We're to bear over them. Are you with me? He says, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Does that sound like anything going on today? Lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud, arrogant, contemptuous, boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Profane. Now listen, all these things, see, we are not called to live under the circumstances. Are you here? We are not called to live under all these things that will come upon the world in the last days. God has called us to be an overcomer. But if we allow, for example, our eyes to see our ears to hear, watch movies that project and display these things. How many know that has an influence on you? Now, come on, don't shout me down. I said, what you look at, what you see, has an influence on you, and it will have an influence on your children. Okay? So keep these things in mind. It's sad when we watch things because that's really about all that's out there. You say, well, I got to be entertained some way. Yeah, but you're letting the wrong spirits entertain you. Okay? You're letting the spirit of fear. And there's a lot of scripture I could use. There's a lot of scripture that we don't have time to go to. In fact, let's go to another one right quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just turn, if you will, back here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let me just show you some things here that will take place in the last days. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is about the rapture, the catching away of the church, okay? Paul talks about in the last days, and he talks about when you lose a loved one in chapter 4, that we are not to be like the world without hope, because we know that if we lose a loved one, yes, we're sorry that we lose somebody that's with us in this present life, but we're not like the world without hope. We know we'll be reunited with them. Okay, so Paul is talking about all these things, and in context, chapter 5 carries on with the same theme, okay? And so let's begin and let's read here in verse 1 and 2. It says, concerning the times, and he's talking about the end times. He says, the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. Have you found it? Verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, he's not calling Jesus a thief, but he's saying this is the way he's going to come. All of a sudden, the church is going to be taken out of here, snatched out of here, as the Lord Jesus Christ cracks open the heaven, but never comes and touches the earth physically. With a trump, the Bible says, there will be a shout from heaven, and those who are dead will rise first, and us who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord, so ever will we be. Are you here? Amen. Okay, so we know, listen, we know that when Jesus comes back first, he's going to take the church with him. Amen? Now let's read on. Verse 4, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. Say, I'm not in darkness. So that the day should overtake you as a thief. I believe that if we stay full of the Spirit, we're not going to know the exact time. We're not going to know the exact day. But listen, you don't leave your house unlocked. You don't leave the keys in your car anymore. Are you here? You prepare like there is a thief out there that could come and take those things away. Well, in our hearts, we're going to know the time and the season that Jesus is coming back for his church. Amen. Okay? He says, we are not under the night nor of darkness. The world don't understand this. The world is motivated by the spirit of fear. Look, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be clear thinking. Don't get yourself influenced or intoxicated by something else that will influence or stir you in another direction. He said, for those who sleep, sleep at night. But those who get drunk are drunk at night. Most of the time, people that drink, they drink at night. Unless you're an alcoholic, then they drink all the time. He said, but look, now here, verse 8, here's why I know, and this is why I believe, your pastor believes, the church is not going through the tribulation. Okay, right here. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. See, you're in here this morning because you're learning about God. You're not part of the unlearned bunch, right? You're not going to perish for a lack of knowledge, okay? He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God, now underline that one, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God did not appoint you and I to the wrath that's coming on this earth. Everything that God said in His Word will happen, and everything will come to pass that God has spoken in His Word. Amen. But it is not, and we will not have to face the wrath of God if we have received Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life. Okay? And so there's a lot of things I could show you this morning, like 1 Timothy 1 and 7 or 2 Timothy 1 and 7, where it says, the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear. But what? Love, power, and a sound mind. That means a sound, stable mind, the Greek says. We are not to be tossed to and fro. We are not to, you know, be moved about by winds of doctrine. So you know that the world lives under the spirit of fear. Because that's what it's motivated by. Now, let me just give you another one here because I got to close for time's sake here. I think the world, go to Psalms, let me just cut it down. Psalms 46. Can you take another one? Amen. I said, can you take another one? Amen. Okay. Listen. Psalms 46. Look up here just a second. Remember this time last year, just about going into the summer, gas reached an all-time high. Getting up there pushing in some parts of the United States, yep, around $5 a gallon. Are you with me? And everybody, you know, they go to the pump and shake. Man, that thing just keep on spinning around. Listen. Some of you were praying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. No. Listen. God doesn't get any pleasure out of that kind of faith. Are you here? You go up to that pump and it says $5 a gallon. You're going to say, I thank my God he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory. Lay your hands on that pump in the name of Jesus. But I'm just trying to show you how much of a joke it is. Most of you know this. Went up to an all-time high. Well, people started cutting back and not using it. Well, that cut into the pocketbooks of the oil producers. So they said, well, we're going to have to cut the price. Well, they cut the price. And then for almost 9-10 months, what happened? Oil went back down almost to record lows again. The barrel of oil was just at all-time lows. Are you here? And that happened back in, you know, January, February, and March as the economy was tanking, as the stock market was crashing and so on and so forth back in the fall. And gas, you know, started going down. Well, now they're saying, you know what? We're not making any money. If you notice that gas is starting to rise back up, anybody notice gas is starting to rise back? They can't justify it over there in the oil-producing nations. They can't justify it. So the refineries are saying, well, now we're the ones that need to make some money. They made the money the last go-around. Now we're going to make the money. We're going to cut production. And so now the price is creeping back up. I just read an article yesterday that the United States, the surplus, this is exact words, the surplus of gas and oil reserves in the United States are at bloated condition. How many know what bloated means? It's an overflow, but now they're having trouble justifying raising the prices on us. Well, it's just a joke. It's just a joke because somebody's greedy, because there is no shortage. Are you here? But Jesus said these things will come to pass. But look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. And so all it takes, if you notice, if you watch the investments, if you watch the stock, if you're that kind of person, and you watch these things, you notice all that has to be said is something to produce some kind of fear, and the stock market goes, yeah. Why? Because it's being under that influence. It's under that kind of motivation. The whole world is under the spirit of fear. But you're not under the spirit of fear. You've got a sound mind. You're stable in the Lord. You've learned where to put your trust. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, you found Psalms 46. Say, Pastor, you're on a rant today. Well, no, I'm not ranting. I'm just mad. I'm mad at the devil, amen, trying to scare. That's, you know, you can't ever teach on even teaching on the end time. You can't teach people to be afraid. I found you can't scare hell out of people. Did you know that? You got to teach them about the love of God and how good God is, okay? So even in America, listen, we have been living under a spirit of fear for a long time. I remember when I was in school, elementary school, and the fear was then is that the Russians had a nuclear missile pointed at Dallas and Irving, Texas. And all they had to do was push the button and we were doomed. Wipe us off of the map. Anybody ever, you know, you've been, I'm talking about when I was in about the fifth grade, and we had these drills, these stupid drills. Anybody remember? And if you had a basement, they had put you go down in the basement of the church. We didn't have a basement because we were in a new school, and we had these little desks. So we had to get in the fetal position and crawl under and put our hands over our head and our face and crawl under our desk in case the Russians nuked us. Now, all of us little boys and girls were trained to get in the right place when they pushed the button. And I got to thinking, what about Mommy and Daddy? They ain't here. What's going to happen to them? They're going to be nuked and I'm under my desk. Like that desk is going to protect me from a nuclear fallout. Are y'all here? Do you see how stupid fear gets people? And then when you don't have teaching on this, you don't have faith to believe God. That's why God said, I want you to teach on about fearing not. Because if you don't have teaching and you don't have preaching about fear not, guess what? You're going to fear and you're going to fall under the influence of that spirit. That reminded me of something. Remember when the AIDS come out? Oh, man. They didn't allow basketball to get cut. Can't play. Football would get cut. Somebody might spit on. Can't sit on the toilet. You sit on the front row here, you'll get spit on. I'll assure you that. But don't worry, I don't have no contagious disease. Only I got Jesus. I have Jesus. I remember one time I plugged in my mother's, a vacuum cleaner or something. I took the screwdriver, and man, that thing blew up right between my legs. I have black marks, right? You know. But you know what? It doesn't keep me from plugging in things today. I learned how to plug it in right. Are you here? We don't just stop, because that's what the world see is taught, that somebody somewhere has got a button. And when they push that button, that's it. Old young Jim Chim Him or whatever his name is in Korea, or the guy over in Iran, oh, they're just waiting. Listen. The worst thing they can do is send a missile and blow this place to kingdom come. But glory to God, to be absent from the body is present with God. Amen. Listen to me, instant glory. That's why Revelation tells us, I'm plugged in this morning, I'll tell you. Because I believe this is something, do you think if God interrupted the regular message to bring you this, it might be important that we listen to it? Okay, I said, listen, they think that just because they tell us these things, that we're to cower down to them and we're to let that spirit get on us. And we just become manipulated and motivated by these silly, stupid things. Are you here? I said, are you here? Say, I will not have no fear. Now look what it says. You ready? Let's close it up. It says, Psalms 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Now look at this next verse, verse 2. Therefore, what does it say? If you got the King James Bible, mark through it, okay, and correct it. It's all right, I'm telling you. Now I use the New King James for most all my study and all my preaching, okay. The King James misuses that sentence. Here's what it should say. Therefore, we will not fear. Say it with me. Say, we will not fear. I said, we, that's the way it should be read. We will not fear. What are you talking about? We will not fear. Yeah, but what if they do push the button? What if they blow the earth up? Look what it says. Look what it says. It says, even though the earth be removed, we will not fear. Even though some crazy, country decides they don't like us and come over here and try to wipe us out, we will not fear. We're not living under a fear of terrorists. We're not living under a fear of what man can do to us. The Lord is our ever-present, the Hebrew says, an abundantly available help. The Lord is our protector. The Lord is our help. He's our ever-present, look what it says, ever-present help in any kind of trouble. Even if they remove the earth. But we know they're not. Are you here? Revelation chapter 11, you know where it talks about, and they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. But we need to read the rest of that. It said, and they love not their own life, even to death. You know what the translation of that is? It means they love God even more than they love their life. It means they were ready to go, if need be, to serve God. Are y'all listening to me? I said, are you here? We got to get to a place. I got to read one more. I tell you, Isaiah. Let me read one more because we always say this, but I want to show you something else. Isaiah 58. Say, we will not fear. Make sure you get this. Fear not. The whole earth, the system is living under a spirit of fear, but not you. Okay. You need to hear this. You need teaching and preaching on this to develop faith so that you don't fear. I know Christians that they don't get on a plane. They won't get out on the highway. Hello. They allow fear to keep them from having fun. There's some parents. Oh, man, y'all won't like this. There's some parents that won't let their children do things because of what happened in their life. And so they put fear on their children. Well, Pastor, my child wants to drive. Shouldn't I fear? Your job's not to fear. Your job is to trust God. Amen. My child wants to drive, but I don't think he's ready. I don't think he's old enough. Well, how old were you when you drove a car? 12. Let's stretch it to 16. Let's get legal. I don't even know if that's legal. Well, how old is your son? Well, he's 19. Come on. I know y'all don't like that kind of stuff, but you know, you don't put fear on your children because something happened to you. Now you teach them respect. Look what it says, Isaiah 58. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Did I tell you Isaiah 58? Isaiah 54. Verse 17. It says, no weapon. Say, no weapon. Formed against you shall prosper. No nuke. And all you got to do is, if you believe the Bible, you know God's the one that's going to remove the earth. Right? Okay. He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will succeed. You got to get this in your heart. Now, here's what we quote. He said, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now, here's what the Hebrew says. No weapon formed against you shall push forward or push you and move you. I shall not be moved. The Lord is my available, abundant help in my time of trouble. I shall not fear. Now listen, we've used this verse and we all kind of, and it does mean this to an extent, but it means much more. We've used this, that we said, and every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. And we've used that meaning that if somebody says something to us as an individual, if somebody calls us a name or slanders us, we say, no tongue shall rise up against us. But it means so much more now. What happens if you turn on CNN tomorrow? Or you turn on Fox, or you turn on the local news, and they start telling you about a pandemic that's going to hit, and that gas is going up to $600 a gallon? Listen to me. This is where you come back and say, in every tongue that rises up against me, I shall condemn. For it is the heritage of the servants. Look what it says. For it is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It is your inheritance. It is part of your right. Are you here? It's not just somebody talking bad to you or ugly to you, but when you hear the spirit of fear talking to produce that fear in this place where you and I live, then we can come back and say, you know what? No weapon formed against us will prosper. Any tongue that rises up against us, we shall condemn, for it is our inheritance. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. The Lord is my provider. I believe what God said. God is my help, my available, abundant help in my time of trouble. Are you with me? Jesus said, you have to receive the kingdom as a little child. Did you ever think about that? A little child. Your little children. Your little child. He'll stand up one day on a high place. And he'll say, catch me, Daddy. And just jump. Stand up in a chair, side of the bed, on the cabinet. And you know what? You don't jump out of the way and let him flop on the floor. That's why he said, you come as a little child, because we believe this stuff. We believe if we jump off, our Father is there with his open, loving arms. Are you here? Come on, stand up with me. I want us to make a confession. I was going to read one more to you. You know, in John 16:33, just put it up there. Put it up there in the Amplified. Just let me build your faith here before we go make our confession. Have I read that one to you before? I like what it says, especially at the end. He said, I've told you these things so that in me, did they get it up there? There we go. Just look at it. So that in me you may have perfect peace. Say perfect peace. We're not perfect, but we can have perfect peace. And confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and you will have trials and you will have distress and you will have frustrations. How many of you ever had opportunity to have some of those things? He said, but be of good cheer. Or literally, be happy. Remember what I told you when we was doing the offering? Just go ahead and fake the devil out. Amen. Say, Pastor, you hadn't seen my bank account lately. Well, smile. Don't let the devil know how much you got in there. But what? Take courage. Say, take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. I like the last part. Look at it. He said, I have deprived it of... Put it back. Put it back. Don't take it down until the lights go off. I deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. I have... That's what Jesus told us. He said, I've deprived the world. I've deprived the devil. Now, what are we going to do to prepare for the last days? So, Pastor, you got to have some common sense. Yeah, common sense is to go take the flu shot and inoculate you with some of the virus. Well, I believe I'll just trust God. I believe I'll just trust that Jesus is my healer. And I can hear from God and I can operate in His will, because that's the safest place for me and my family. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. My confession is my God will meet all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, lift your hand to heaven. Close your eyes and say, I believe that God's Word is life to me. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. So I receive the Word of God into my heart. And I believe that You are my ever-present help in a time of trouble. And You protect me. And I believe that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I believe that no tongue, no media, no message spoken against my life, my welfare will prosper. I believe what the Word of God says. I put my trust in God. I believe in Psalms 91 that says, no plague, no weapon shall come near my dwelling. I believe the Word of God that says, with long life, He will satisfy me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. With long life will You satisfy me. Glory to God. Now, would you bow your heads one more time before we leave here? Did you receive something from that today? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to know when I leave this place that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And you don't have that assurance today. See, I'm bold enough to ask you. I'm not embarrassed. If nobody raises their hand, we go home. But you know what? I'm authorized by God to give this altar call. If you need a Savior to come and save you and protect you in this world, then this is your moment of truth. This is your time to lift your hand and say, I want you to pray, Pastor. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I trust Him more than I trust the world. I trust Him more than I trust the system. I trust Him more than I trust anything else. If you're here today and you don't have that assurance residing in your heart, wherever you are in this sanctuary, wherever you are, maybe they're watching us around this world, I don't know. But right now, just lift your hand to heaven and say, hey, pray for me, Pastor. I want to receive. I want to know today I walk out of here a new person. I want to know that I walk out of here forgiven. I want to know that whatever happens, that Jesus is my Lord. And if I should leave this earth, I will instantly go to be with my Lord. Are you here today, church? Are you listening to me? If there's somebody today you're not sure, come on, raise your hand real high. Raise your hand real high that I might pray with you. If you want it, I don't assume nothing when it comes to salvation. I don't assume that everybody that comes into a church is saved. I don't assume that everybody who calls them a Christian calls himself Christian. I don't assume those things. But the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, dealing with your life right now. Don't draw back. You say, how many chances do I get? I don't know. Ask the lady and her daughter on the plane. Ask the young man that was hit on the motorcycle the other day in McAllen. See, not a one of us are guaranteed another day. That's all we have to receive today. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. We praise You, Jesus. We bless You, Jesus. We honor You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you today would say, there's something in my life, maybe at least one thing, that has allowed you to produce fear in your life? For some people, it's a fear of running out of money. For some people, it's a fear of losing a loved one, a fear of maybe a husband or walking out on them, a fear of a child not loving them because they disciplined them. There's a lot of fears disguised in many packages. How many of you in here this morning, I believe this is of the Lord, would say, I want to denounce all fear from my life. I don't want one thing to be in my life to contaminate me. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now. If there's this, okay, there's hands going up all over the room. Okay, that's, listen, that's why God wanted me to stop and teach on this fear not. He kept prompting me for the last 2 weeks. Finally got it through to me. Now, if you lifted your hand, I want you to lift both hands to heaven right now. I'm going to take authority right now over that spirit of fear. Because it comes in all sizes, all shapes, and all packages. And if you have fear, it will override your faith in God. That's why it is dangerous and you have to denounce it. You have to catch yourself and say, I will not fear. So say it. Come on. Whatever that thing is right now that you're afraid of losing, or afraid of happening, airplane, height, climbing mountains, freeway, motorcycle, say right now, I denounce that fear in the name of Jesus. I put my trust completely in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Because see, He has not given you the spirit of fear, has He? But it does, and it has, and it is on the world. But you're not of the world. Can you say amen? Amen? Father, we thank You. Come on, let's just pray for everybody right now. Father, we thank You right now for the word of the Lord today that has gone forth. Lord, I believe that You spoke through this vessel, Lord, as I obeyed Your intention, Your heart today, Lord. God, I believe that there have been many that have been set free from the spirit of fear. I believe, God, this congregation will not be under adversity, but that we'll ride above it in every area, and we will not allow any fear. We will not allow any bad news, whether it be economy, whether it be health, or any other issue. We'll not allow that tongue to rise up against us. We receive our inheritance today, and we walk in the spirit of truth, in the name of Jesus. So I thank You, Lord, Your people are protected and they are provided for in the name of Jesus. And everybody who believes said amen and amen.